Good morning.
Good
morning. Isn't it a good morning to be in the house of the Lord? I'm grateful and thankful that you're able to be out and be with us this morning. We've got some folks that have not been here in a day or two that have come back. We've got some that are sitting here this morning in direct response to answer to some prayers because of sickness. And we're glad to see you all. I'm glad you're back. If you're joining us online, you're just as welcome as if you were here. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, what worship's supposed to look like and what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And we've covered that several times, Ephesians 5, it's 19, verse through 21. And it gives us really genuine guidance on how we're supposed to be. And there's, of course, hundreds of other verses that complement these, the actual things that we're to participate in when it comes to worship services. Sometimes, though, after we do this and we do this wholeheartedly, we can leave here just a little bit empty. That's not the way it's meant to be. I guess in the modern day terms, we've been set up for success. I think the words of Genesis can speak to us and remind us of this. So let's take just a minute and look at Genesis 4, verse 7. I'm just going to look at how that verse starts. You know the story. It's Cain and Abel. What does the Lord say? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? I love that. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Oh, the applications of that. But the application to focus on this morning is in worship and in those things in Ephesians that we have planned to do this morning. And we can leave here this morning knowing that we have done well, that we have completed what it is that our Creator has asked us to do. We're at the right place and we're doing the right thing. Let's enter into worship.
Good morning, everyone. If convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn, hymn number 92.
Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, for thee, for his own abode, on the harp of ages sounded, what has shaped thy show?
Seated. Excuse me. Our next hymn will be hymn number 6. Excuse me. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 539.
Thank you. Would you bow with me, please? Gracious Father in heaven, we are so thankful to be your children, thankful that you have adopted us as our Lord's brothers. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us as we go about our daily activities, and that in the quieter moments of our lives, we may call upon thee and thank you and make requests and supplications and praise your great name. Our Father, we could not offer up a prayer to you this morning without thanking you for Jesus and the example that he set for us in the New Testament that we should follow in his footsteps. We're thankful that he was willing to die for our sins, thankful that he is our advocate in heaven. We would also pray for our brothers and sisters who are up against it at this time and trust that you would watch over them. Those who are sick, we pray for them, and we pray for their caregivers, the people who stand by them and take care of them and nurse them back to good health. We realize that your will be done in all things, and we trust that you'll be generous with us and kind. Father, we look forward to being in heaven with you and your Son someday. This is our prayer this morning in his name, and amen.
Before we have the scripture reading and then today's lesson, we'll be singing hymn number 162.
At this time, the children are all dismissed to go to the children's training class. The scripture for this morning comes from Psalm 13, 1 through 4. That's Psalm 13, 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken.
I have already been blessed richly by being here this morning, by the Bible class that I was in this morning with Everson, and the singing that we've just had, the prayer that was just led, hearing God's word read. It's been a blessing. The songs especially, I really appreciate Matt leading these. The first one seems a little unfamiliar to many, but if you'll notice who wrote it, we know him very well, John Newton, the one that wrote Amazing Grace. And these hymns have such power in their words. Even when you're not singing them, if you just meditate on their message, what a great message they have. And so we're just so glad that we can come together like this, whether you're here in person or still watching with us or listening over the internet. We are very thankful that you have joined us for this time of worship to God. And we know it's going to bless us because he is with us. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. And we're going to have an outstanding preacher tonight. Everson Weekly will be outstanding down there below the doors. he is outstanding in other ways, though. Even when he's indoors, he is outstanding. But Everson will be bringing the lesson for this evening. The weather forecast looks great, temperature-wise, maybe a little cloudy at that time, but it should be fine. And so we urge you to come out and join us if you can. Bring your chairs, your blankets, worship from inside your vehicle, whatever is best for you. But these are marvelous times to worship God in the cathedral that he himself has made. So we really hope you'll come out and join us if you're able. If you're not able, we'll be online as well. But let's do make it a point to give God our best this day. But we are very glad you're with us today. We've got a good number here this morning. And I think gradually we're growing again back to where we have been. It's really good to see Brian Ketchum with us this morning. He's visiting with us from Colorado. Brian and Shannon were beloved members here for 2 or 3 years. Now they're living in Colorado, and Brian is now working with the Bear Valley School of Preaching, and that is a great mission outreach, and we're glad he's with us. Shannon's coming in later in the week, he says, but be sure to say hi to Brian. He's sitting back there in the very back. And also with us for the first time in quite a while is James Simmons. James is he's the one that says amen a lot of times during the sermon. I appreciate that. Thank everybody for their birthday cards, he says, and today is that day. So if you forgot to send a card, be sure to wish it in person before he gets out the door. But we're so glad you're with us. We've got many here that are visiting and others that are coming out again. We're just happy to be together. But let's turn our attention now to the Word of God. I hope you've got your Bible and that you'll turn with us in these passages. We're going to start with James chapter 5. So if you want to go ahead and open to that, James chapter 5, and we're just going to notice one thing there that James says to get us started with the thoughts that we want to bring this morning. James chapter 5, verse 11, James mentions somebody that is well known to all of us. In fact, even people that never go to church know who this is, likely. James says in James chapter 5, verse 11, Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. And your translation may say patience. The idea is the same. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So James wants us to think about this man, Job, and there's an entire book in the Old Testament devoted to Job and his experiences. And what a man. What a man of God. In fact, when Satan came around, God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And that's what got everything rolling in that account. God was saying, look at this man, how amazing he is in his faith. And we admire him. We admire Job for enduring all of the trials that came upon him. But we don't want to be Job. None of us here would choose to be Job to any degree. None of those things that happened to him, we would want to happen to us. And yet they do. We all go through trials. Every one of us will experience a trial of one kind or another. It may not be as severe as Job's or somebody else nearby right now. But we all endure trials. And the question that was raised in our text this morning, Psalm 13, and we're going to go back to that now if you want to be turning back to that. The question that is raised there in Psalm 13 is a simple one. How long, O Lord? How long is this going to go on? And that's a question we want to know, especially as we are going through trials in life. And so that's the question this morning. How long, O Lord? It's a question often found in the Bible. What does God say in response? Let's see what he says. While God's people wait for an answer, that's where we're going to begin, and especially by noticing what David was saying in Psalm 13. And let's just look at that again. Psalm 13, let's read verses 1 through 4 again. We'll stop and make some observations, and then we'll finish it. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Now right there, we'll stop because in that part of the psalm, David's mood is down. I think we would all agree with that, wouldn't we? Because four times he asked the question, how long? Now, he doesn't actually go on to tell us what is happening in his life. He does mention three times there is enemies around. There are enemies. He mentions my foe. He mentions my enemies. We don't know exactly what it was that was happening. It could have been when Saul was pursuing him, as we saw in the lesson this morning in the Bible class. We can't imagine what it must be like to be the man on the poster, wanted dead or alive, and they're out looking for you. And that's what David went through for a period of time, and then later with his own son. And there were other times. The Philistines came after him, and others came after him. And how many times must he have raised this question? How long? How long will this go on, Lord? And notice, it even affects the way he looks at himself, because he says, how long will you forget me forever? Will you hide your face from me? There is that time in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3. We looked at that last week in the Bible class, where David said, there is but a step between me and death. And we may not have been there, although some have been there recently with this virus that is so terrible in our land. There are some among us who have been in that situation where they feel this may be my end. And thank God it wasn't for those that have been through that. But you see, the idea is David knows I'm in a mess here. I'm in trouble. And Lord, how long is this going to go on? I need your help. He appeals to God. Now, let's go on to verses 5 and 6. because there's a change that occurs in David's mood. Listen to what he says in verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Now that's just a total change. Earlier had been saying, how long? Four times. How long, O Lord? How long? Are you going to forget me forever? Will you hide your face from me? My enemies are around. I'm afraid I'm going to die. And now all of a sudden, I will rejoice. I will be happy. I have a song to sing. What caused that abrupt change? Well, you can see it right there in verse 5. I have trusted in your steadfast love. That's what made the difference. Earlier, David was focused on his enemy, on his foes. He was thinking about the problems all around him. And now he decides, let me shift my focus and look at the steadfast love of the Lord. You've heard us talk about that term, steadfast love. Your translation may say mercy or something else there. But the word in the Hebrew is a word that means God's covenant love. It's not something that is warm one day and cold the next. It's constant. God's love is there. He will do what is best for us. You can count on that. And even though the present circumstances are not good, yet I know God's steadfast love is there. And that's what causes him to say, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully for me. Now, there's nothing there that says things had changed automatically or right then. In fact, I doubt that they had. But David is looking forward to the time when things would be better. And why would he do that? Because he knows God has steadfast love. God is not going to forget him or abandon him. Warren Wiersbe says this in commenting on this passage. He says it's a dangerous thing to give in to our feelings. Boy, get that idea right now. Listen again. It's a dangerous thing to give in to our feelings because feelings are deceptive and undependable. When Jacob heard the news about Simeon being left hostage in Egypt, he gave up and announced that everything was against him. That's found in Genesis 42, when actually God was causing everything to work for him. And I think that's a really good point. At the moment, Jacob said, everything is going the wrong way. Why is God letting this happen? When actually it was all working for good for Jacob and for all of his family, who would soon go down to Egypt and live comfortably the rest of their lives. And that's the idea. When we depend on our feelings, things can get really bad. We give up, we get sour, we get bitter. But if we can turn our attention to the promise, God's steadfast love, what a difference it makes. Now, I mentioned earlier that this question, how long, it occurs often in the Bible. Let me just give you three other examples, and there are others besides this. In fact, God sometimes asks it, how long am I going to have to put up with these people, the way they're acting? But let me show you, for example, Psalm 89, verse 46. Psalm 89 and verse 46. And this is Ethan, the Ezraite. We don't know much about this fella, but he was going through something. And listen to what he says in Psalm 89, verse 46. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? And so whatever it was he was going through, it was bad. It was very uncomfortable. And he said, how long, Lord, must we go through this? Go to the next psalm, Psalm 90. The only psalm that we know of that Moses himself wrote. And listen to what he says in verses 13 and 14. Psalm 90, verses 13 and 14. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And so again, you see, Moses is saying, Lord, how long? Now again, we don't know the circumstances he's talking about, but It's not hard to imagine. For 40 years. For 40 years, Moses was with the people of Israel in the wilderness. And they were just, you know, so many trials. So many times the people rebelled, they complained, they murmured. Moses got very frustrated at times. It's not hard to imagine Moses saying, how long? How long is it ever going to end? And it did, of course. The day came when he was taken by God and taken to a better place. He didn't get to go into the promised land, but he got to be with God. That is definitely a better place. And then one other time I want to show you is Revelation 6. Revelation 6, verses 9 and 10. John is being given a vision of things that are going on in heaven. And listen to what he says in Revelation 6, verses 9 and 10. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God. They've been killed because of their faith and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And it's been centuries since John had that vision. And so they have not yet been avenged, we would say. But we know they will be. We know they will be avenged. And yet again, it's a universal, it seems. When people go through hard times, we don't want to be there. We want to be relieved of this. The burden removed from our shoulders. And so we say, Lord, how long? How long is this going to go on? And it's something that we feel ourselves. We feel it right now as we wonder, how much longer must these conditions continue? Lord, can't something be done? We know what it's like. And so I see great value in this psalm, Psalm 13. It's not one of the better known psalms, but there's so much here. There's nothing to indicate in the psalm, as we've said earlier, that the problem was resolved while David was writing it. And yet, even while he endured the problems, he could rejoice because he trusted the steadfast love of the Lord. And thus, there in itself is a marvelous lesson for us that even while we endure trials, we can have comfort and we can have joy. Peter Craigie, in the Word Bible commentary on Psalm, says this about this psalm. It is in the nature of confidence to transform the present on the basis of past experience and thus to create hope for the future. Now get that. He's saying, because of what we have seen of God in the past, we can transform the present into a nicer future. We know that God is going to act and things are going to be better. And so the psalmist can affirm that he will rejoice in God's deliverance even though it has not yet come. Even though it has not yet come. The end of this pandemic has not come. But it will. If necessary, the Lord will come one day and take us home to heaven. But we know that God is with us whatever we're going through. And Warren Wiersbe again makes this observation about the psalm. David's circumstances haven't changed, but the Lord has changed him. That's what gives him the ability to say, I'll rejoice even while I'm going through this. I want to know how long, but Lord, even if it goes on for the rest of my life, I can rejoice. David's circumstances haven't changed, but the Lord has changed him. And that occurred when David stopped looking at his feelings and his foes and by faith started looking to the Lord. That's the key for us. We can become so fixed on the problems. We can continually watch what's on the news or in the newspapers or listen to what people are saying. And we just get down further and further and further. But when we stop and look to the Lord and remind ourselves, the Lord's steadfast love has not failed, that will dig us out of the pit we're in. So let's make personal application here. When we cry out, "How long, O Lord?" 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says, don't be surprised when trials come. Here's how he says it, 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. In other words, Peter says, it's going to come. We live in an imperfect world. We live in a world where Satan is out trying to pull us away from the Lord. Why be surprised? It's going to come. And yes, those times are difficult, they are challenging, and we will cry out to the Lord, Lord, how long? How long do we have to go through this, Lord? Is there going to be an end? Well, here's some things to remember as we have those feelings that God has abandoned us. First of all, Exodus 34, we're going to look at verses 5 through the first part of verse 7. And the reason we're going to this passage in the Old Testament is here God declares, this is who I am. Moses had asked, Lord, show me your glory. And God is going to speak his glory. This is the nature of God. Here's what he says in Exodus 34, beginning in verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And right there is why we love God. That's who God is. Now he goes on to say, for those that don't walk in my ways, it won't be quite so nice, to put it mildly. But God says, for those that put their trust in me, I will keep them. I will make sure that my steadfast love is abounding on them. And that's us. If we are walking in the path that Jesus showed us, if we entrusted our lives to God, that's us. The steadfast love of the Lord abounds toward us. May I also point you to Mark chapter 4, verses 38 through 40. Mark chapter 4, verses 38 through 40. This is a miracle of Jesus. And yet, I think it's also a parable. Now, here's what I mean. Let's just look at what it says there. Mark 4, beginning in verse 38. This is when Jesus and the apostles were out in the boat. And Jesus was in the stern, Mark says, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They were in a trial. The sea was rougher than they had ever seen it before, probably. These were fishermen, many of them. And they said, we're going to die. And Lord, what are you doing? You're asleep. You don't care? Do you not care that we are perishing? And Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace. Be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Now, that's an amazing miracle. I wish we could see that on video. I don't know if I'd want to be in the boat while it was happening, but it was an amazing miracle. But it's more than that, it's a lesson. Because we are in boats like that, that are tossed by the seas and the wind and the waves. And we think, I'm going to die. Lord, you're not doing anything here. And yet with a simple word, God can bring calm if it's his desire, when it is his time. And Jesus said, why are you so afraid? In other words, while that storm was going on, you were afraid. Why? Do you not have faith? And here we are in our boats, bobbing up and down, being tossed violently, and we're afraid. Because maybe we've forgotten the steadfast love of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 may be highlighted in your Bible. It's a good passage to highlight. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, you know this. The writer says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We get all worried about material things because we think, well, I'll run out of money. I'll not have what I need. God says, I'm not going to leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That is a promise for you and me if we are people that have committed our lives to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a promise. And with God, promises are like banknotes, like checks. Take it to the bank and cash it. It's good. And even while I'm going through these trials and my feelings cry out, how long, O Lord? Yet my faith, based on what I know from the Word of God, can calm me down. And I love these words as well in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. God cares for you and for me. God cares for all those who put their trust in him. And so when we are anxious about whatever trial it may be in our lives, cast those anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. These are powerful promises. It shows that God really is going to be there for us. And even though, yeah, there is a trial going on, I can't deny that. But I also cannot deny, should not deny, that God is still with me. He will never leave me. Colin Delitzsch wrote a commentary on the Bible many years ago, but they make very good observations at times. They say about this passage, this psalm, Psalm 13, this song, as it were, casts up constantly lessening waves until it becomes still as the sea when smooth as a mirror. And the only motion discernible at last is that of the joyous ripple of calm repose. And that's what you see in this psalm. It begins in turmoil, but by the end, everything is calm. What made the difference? The steadfast love of the Lord. J.A. Motyer, in his commentary, says this: agitation is brought into the place of intercession and emerges in exaltation. There's a formula for you. You've taken physics before, you had to memorize those formulas. Well, this is one that is worth memorizing. Agitation, it says, is brought into the place of intercession and emerges in exaltation, joy, praise, calmness. In 1845, W.W. Walford wrote these words, published them as a song that we know well, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer. Isn't that what David said in Psalm 13? Sometimes the biggest problems have the simplest solutions. Your computer won't boot up. You call the Geek Squad or whomever. What do I do? Have you checked to see if it's plugged in? Oh, without being plugged in, it won't boot up. I realize there's lots of batteries out there now. But is it possible that I'm not plugged into the Lord? Is that why my life is in such turmoil while I go through this trial? And would it help if I plug myself in through doing the things I know I should be doing anyway, praying, hearing his will in the Word of God, the Bible, worshiping him when I have opportunity, doing service whenever I can? If I plugged myself in, would that help? Oh, yes. There is no doubt in my mind that would make a difference. And so there's no doubt we're going to call out, how long, O Lord? But God's steadfast love is with us. It doesn't matter how long it will be. God's steadfast love will be there for us. Are you plugged in? Are you a child of God? You need to obey the gospel if you're not. You've heard the word of God, and now are you ready to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you ready to turn away from sin, repenting of it, and today be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? We can do that this morning, and you can leave this place knowing that God is with you and he will bless whatever may come. You'll get through it with his help. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful, or have you unplugged your life from God? And this morning you need to repent of sins. You need to confess them, maybe because they're publicly known. Let's do that. Let's pray together and get the help that God offers. If we can help you, come as we stand and sing.
Days are filled with sorrow.
Seated.
came up after we finished singing and said, isn't it ironic, amazing, I forgot the word he used, but that he would be back today. This is the first time he's been back in worship in quite some time. And he thought this lesson was made just for him. Well, it was made for all of us, James, but I'm thankful that you feel the application. It counted all joy when we fall into temptations. It's hard to do that, but it can lead us closer to the Lord, yes. Seth has also come forward asking for our prayers for someone that he's very close to. I'm not going to mention the name because most of you don't know this person, but Seth is concerned because he's made some bad decisions. And I like the way Seth said it. He's a good man, but he's made some bad decisions. And that's what we're all capable of doing, is making bad decisions. And how wonderful it is to know that people are praying for us. And so even though you may not know this person, if you pray for Zach's associate, we'll call him that, a friend, just pray that he'll make better decisions and that he'll be brought closer to the Lord. Also want to mention Joseph Rhodes in our prayers. Joseph is a man who's been with us a few times. He lives in Russia. He helps the church in Barnaul, Russia. Right now, he's going through what could be COVID, pretty rough symptoms, and he has respiratory issues anyway. And let's be praying for Joseph and pray that he gets through this all right. And there's a couple that you've read about in Daily Focus from our own number that are going through COVID right now, and we want to pray for them and pray that they'll come through it. We have some with us this morning who have come through it just recently, pretty rough symptoms, and we're going to praise God for that. But let's bow and go to God in prayer. Father, we do praise you. You are so wonderful and great. You are in control. And even though many things happen in this life that are not your will, yet your power can turn things at any moment and cause things to improve or to worsen. Father, we trust you because you have shown yourself to be trustworthy, and we commit our lives to you completely. Father, may we all learn to look to you instead of focusing on the problems around us, and may we thus find the peace and the joy that is possible at any moment in our lives. Father, we pray for this friend of Seth's who has made bad decisions. Please, Lord, bless this man. Help him that he might see where he is going wrong and do better. And thank you for Seth and for his heart that wants this person to do well. We pray for Joseph in Russia, who is right now having very difficult symptoms. And Father, we just pray that you'll help him. He is a valuable part of the work there in Barnaul. And we pray that you'll help him to overcome this. We also pray for the two that are part of our number that are struggling with this virus right now. We pray that they may both improve. And we're thankful that they are improving, it seems. But Father, bless them that they may completely overcome it. And thank you for those among us who have overcome this virus. We know there have been many who haven't, but we just rejoice that you have been there for these and that some of them are now back with us in the assembly this morning. Father, thank you. And may we never take for granted the prayers that you answer. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all the good things you do for us. Continue to bless us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 332. 332.
Lead me to power.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this morning, I'd like to talk briefly about mementos. I have a number of mementos of my grandfather's. Things like old photographs, an old ring of his, an old knife of his. My grandfather died about 20 years ago when I was still a teenager in high school. I loved my grandfather very much, and I miss him. These mementos help me remember some of the great things about my grandfather and how much I still owe him today. My grandfather fought for our country in World War II. He taught me many, many things when I was a kid growing up. And thanks to his hard work and the money that he saved, I was able to go to college. We hold in our hands right now two mementos of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They help remind us that Jesus gave his own flesh and blood for us. Thanks to Jesus, we can live free from slavery to sin. We can follow Jesus' example of love and obedience, and we know what it's like to truly live life the way our Creator intended us to live it. We can have, like we talked about today, hope and comfort in trials. And we are part of a huge family of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So today, as we take into ourselves these mementos of the flesh and blood of Jesus, let's give thanks for all the blessings that we have through him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus. And we take this time now to remember him and orient ourselves towards you and towards him. Thank you for his example. Thank you for the life that he lived. Lord, we take this bread and we know it represents his own flesh that he gave for us. We pray as well, Lord, that we would every day give our own bodies as living sacrifices to you. Lord, thank you for blessing us through Jesus. In your Son's name, amen. Again, Father, we now take this juice, which we know that represents your Son's blood. And Lord, even as we take that into ourselves, we pray that you would help us, like Jesus, to live as you would have us to seek your will in our lives, Lord, so that we can live the way you intended us to live our lives. Lord, help us to take hold of these blessings you have planned for us and that you have given us. Lord, thank you for this blood that washes away our sins. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. includes the Lord's Supper. I would also like to mention our command that we've been given to lay by and store and take up an offering. And we've got, you know, baskets and things like that and the way to give online. But please also remember, we're not only commanded to give of our financial means, but you know, we're also supposed to give of our time and our talents and find ways to bless each other, find ways to bless others, and to be shining lights of Jesus in this world. So now we'll take up have the prayer for our offerings. Father, Lord, you've given us so much. We pray that you would help us to give the things that already belong to you back to you. Help us to give financially with cheerful hearts. Lord, please bless those who make decisions with the finances. Give them wisdom and help them to glorify you with this. And Lord, please help us to find ways in all of our lives that we can serve you by serving others, that we can find ways to show love to those who need it, because you yourself, Lord, have shown us so much love. Thank you for all the good things in our lives, and we know that every single one of them comes from you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're again thankful for this opportunity that's been provided for us to come together to meet in your name. I pray, dear God, that what's been done here today be done in a manner that's acceptable and pleasing unto you. We pray, dear God, for these that have publicly responded to the invitation. They've asked for prayers. I pray, dear God, that we would remember them both in prayer and deed. Please give us the blessings of safe travels. We soon leave this place. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen.